Hello. Thank you for joining in today with us. Unfortunately, Sunday's sermon did not get recorded as planned, so what I'm going to do today is just basically go back over the sermon, do my notes. What you will be missing is the interaction with the crowd and some of the other illustrations. However, this material is so good, I just had to do this to share it. So I've entitled this sermon Borderline Christianity, and I feel that it's important for us to realize that God does desire so much more for us than just salvation. I mean, salvation is key, and that's what His primary plan for us in this life is, but it doesn't stop there. There is so much more. So if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5, and I'm going to read a portion of this story that's often called the Gadarene demoniac. Jesus went and cast out the demons of this man in the land of the Gadarenes, and we're going to talk a little bit just and discover exactly what was going on there in that time. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now, also, you need to know that in the book of Matthew, in Mark, that he calls this area the Gerasenes, but in Matthew, it's actually called the Gadarenes, and in the notes in your Bible may say that it's, even though it says Gerasenes, it is probably referring to the land of the Gadarenes. So here we go with chapter 5 of the book of Mark, beginning in verse 1. They went across to the region of the Gerasenes, or the Gadarenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tomb to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had been often chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And verse 18 says, as Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus did not let him and said, "Go to home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Now I think it's interesting to note that in verse 15, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You see, I think too often times when we get so accustomed to the chaos in our life, so accustomed to the ups and downs and the tragedies and all that, and the filth and the muck and the mire that we live in, that when we see something that is right and true, sometimes we get afraid of that. We get afraid of that. These people, they had become so accustomed to seeing this man run around naked, screaming, hollering, cutting himself. And when they saw him in his right mind, that was unusual. That made them be afraid. And I think, again, sometimes what ought to be right and true in our lives has really become unusual at times because it's not the norm. And when we encounter that, sometimes we get afraid. The first thing I want us to see is that when Jesus went to the land where he went, and he went to the land of the Gadarenes. And you need to understand the historical significance of the land of the Gadarenes. This territory is on the east side of Galilee and the Jordan River, which feeds it. The Gadarenes were people whose history went back to the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the descendants of the tribe of Gad, thus the name Gadarenes. So let's look all the way back to the book of Numbers, chapter 32. You have to go back to the Old Testament. And in this portion of the text, Moses is preparing although Moses did not go into the promised land, he's preparing them to go, and he's kind of laying out the inheritance of the land for them. So verse 1 of chapter 32, the book of Numbers, says this. It says, "The Reubenites and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the land of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So they came to Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and to all the leaders of the community and said, 'Ataroth, Dabon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elalah, Sabam, Nebo, and Boen.'" The land, that was the name of the leaders, apparently, by the way, all those weird names. But he said, "The land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel are suitable for livestock. And your servants have livestock. If we have found favor in your eyes," they said, let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan." Moses said to the Gadites and the Reubenites, "Shall your countrymen go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from going over into the land the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshcol and viewed the land, they discouraged Israelites from entering the land that the Lord had given them. The Lord's anger was aroused that day, and he swore his oath. Because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, not one of the men 20 years old or more who came up out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh," had some weird names back then, "the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the desert 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. And here you are, a brood of sinners standing in the place your fathers, standing in the place of your fathers, and making the Lord even more angry with Israel. If you turn away from following him, he will again leave all this people in the desert, and you will be the cause of their destruction." Then they came up to him and said, "We would like to build pens here for our livestock and cities for our women and children, but we are ready to arm ourselves and go ahead of the Israelites until we have brought them to their place. Meanwhile, our women and children will live in fortified cities for protection from the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every Israelite has received his inheritance. We will not receive any inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan, because our inheritance has come to us on the east side of the Jordan." You see, Gad, Reuben, and we later learned that the half of the tribe of Manasseh decided to settle on the east side of the river and not go into the land of promise. And I'm amazed at why they would so easily give up their inheritance. They judged that the land on the east side to be good for grazing and to keep their children protected from the Canaanites in the promised land. So they struck a compromise. And to me, these people, they represent what I would call borderline Christians. They decided to trust what they could see with their own eyes rather than trust in God in an unfamiliar territory. They said, "We've come this far, and this is all the farther we're going to follow you, God." They were not even remotely interested in possessing everything God said they could have. They camped out on the borderline while the rest of God's people followed him into their destiny. I think that's so indicative of where we are as a people today. Not necessarily all individuals, but when you look at us as a group, as a church, there are so many that are just satisfied with being saved. You see, they were saved from the hand of Pharaoh. They received that salvation, but yet they did not want everything that God had promised for them. They had already done some work, and they decided, well, we'll just settle right here because it's easier. If we go across the problem into the promised land, it's hard work. You know, there's giants to conquer, and it's dangerous for our kids. It's not safe. It's risky. And we know this land here, and so we want to stay here. And I think too many Christians, they look ahead and they see that, well, you know what? This being a Christian thing is really kind of hard, and it's kind of risky, and it might be dangerous for my family. So I think I'll just settle on the borderland. I'm happy with salvation, and I want that, but I don't really want everything that God has for me because there are other things involved. The people of Gad, they remained on the border as God's presence moved farther and farther away. You see, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God, and it would often go before them whenever they crossed the Jordan, when they went into battle, everywhere they went, the Ark of the Covenant went before them, and that represented the presence of God. So when they went into the Promised Land and they took the Ark with them, and they got farther and farther away from the Jordan River, thus farther and farther away from the Gadarenes. And so the presence of God, by the time the Ark was of the covenant was in Jerusalem, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Reuben and half of Manasseh, they were the tribes that were the farthest away from the presence of God. And I think sometimes some Christians are like the Gadarenes. You got saved, you reached the very edge of God's promise, but then you set up camp, you made some compromises, and you stayed right there on the border. And you may have been in that place, in that very same place for years. You've settled far away from the presence of God. You've settled for what you can see with your own eyes. You've decided it's better to trust in your own wisdom and plans for your life instead of trusting God to take you through. You've made camp on the borderline. You've settled for compromise, and you don't even realize how far from His presence you are. Too many Christians worship God from afar. We give Him superficial worship from a distance. Oh, we come to church on Sunday morning and we barely enter into true worship, and then when it's all over, we leave God at the back door and we go and do whatever we want the rest of the week. You want to know why I think more people don't want to truly worship? I think it's because you cannot get close to the presence of God and live like you want to live and do what you want to do. Because when you really get close to the presence of God, you begin to act like He acts and live like He lives. You begin to think like He thinks. You begin to take on His nature, His character, His appetites. Instead, we develop a way of avoiding intimacy with God. You see, we have a form of godliness, but we deny its power. That's a powerful statement. We have a form of godliness, but we deny its power. We say, yes, God has a power to save me, but not to protect me and keep me in the promises that He has for me. We come in and we'll do just a little of this and a little of that, and then we go and live any way we want to. But you cannot keep doing what you want and get close to God at the same time. You cannot set up camp on the borderline and never follow Him into the deeper things He has for you. There comes a point when you have to walk it and live it, or you're simply not in relationship with Him. The Bible tells us that Jesus included the land of the Gadarenes in His itinerary. And I don't think He was going there just to deliver this demon-possessed man. I believe He had a historical account to settle in that city because the people had gotten so far from the presence of God that they were raising pigs. Jews raising pigs. Back when God gave the law and the instructions to Moses, they were forbidden to consume pigs. They were forbidden to eat pigs. They were even forbidden to touch the pigs. And here they were, raising pigs, making their livelihood off of pigs. Now it's up for debate whether or not the Israelites were actually the ones raising the pigs, but whether or not they were actually raising pigs, they were at least comfortable with being around them. They had become comfortable with a pig lifestyle. They'd chosen to live so far from the presence of God that they forgot how He had told them to live. And you know, it's really amazing what you'll get involved in when you get away from God's presence. That borderline territory had tempted them to settle there with its ideal conditions for livestock. Instead of looking to God as their source, they were looking all around them and taking matters into their own hands, trusting in their own decisions. The next thing you know, they were raising and making their living off pigs. The very thing that God said was unclean and had no place in their lives was now the main source of their livelihood. So I believe Jesus was on his way to clean things up. And he steps off the boat and a man was waiting to greet him. This man, the Bible says, was possessed with demon spirits. And I see this man as a representative of the entire people of the Gadarenes. He was a reflection of what the people had become because they were so far from the presence of God. When we as individuals or families or churches or even the nation, when we pull away from the presence of God, demonic forces start to take over. We invite the little evil things in and wonder what happened. The little compromises here, a little compromise there, a little turning the eye here and a little looking the other way there. Before long, it adds up and we find ourselves living in a land that is far from where God intended us to live. There's a story of a man who found a wounded snake on the road. Feeling sorry for it, he took it home and he nursed it back to health. After spending so much time with the snake, he didn't feel any danger and wasn't afraid when he was around it. In fact, he had grown quite fond of this cute little snake and considered it a pet. Then one day he was feeding the snake. It bit him on the hand, and its poisonous venom quickly spread through his entire body. And as he lay there dying, he looked at the snake with complete disbelief in his eyes. "I took good care of you. I fed you, and I kept you safe. How could you bite me?" Without the slightest bit of remorse, the snake hissed, "You silly man. You knew I was a snake when you took me in." So I wonder, what snakes have you let into your home? What pigs have you brought into your life? When Jesus went to the Gadarenes, possibly to draw them closer to the presence of God, they got upset. They said, "We don't like this. We didn't want you to kill our pigs. We want you to leave." They were so far from the presence of God that when they could not get close to God, Jesus went to them. Before their sins killed them, he killed their pigs. Yet they didn't see it this way. They were upset. Some of you have some pigs, and you're saying, "I want my pigs. Leave my pigs alone." And that's what those people did. But you can't have him as Lord and keep your pigs. I believe God says, "Come into my presence. Come close. Don't sit on the bank of the Jordan somewhere. Don't live in compromise on the borderline. Don't straddle the fence. Come on into the Holy of Holies and encounter my presence." God says, "You may feel like you've been far from me, but I'm coming to you. What I did for that Gadarene man, I can do for you." However, if you keep on saying, "I want you to leave," Jesus just may get back in the boat. There's danger in that. Genesis 6, verse 3 says, "I will not contend with man forever." And I believe there comes a point when we say no long enough, we deny it long enough, that God just says, "Well, I'll honor your request." I made a post on Facebook this week, and it was kind of comical, based off the commercial that's for DirecTV that ends up, a guy goes through all kinds of things and ends up in a roadside ditch because he didn't choose DirecTV. And I kind of thought about that, and I thought, you know, if you can't decide whether or not to follow Jesus, that means you're straddling the fence. And if you straddle the fence, you get holes in your pants. And when you get holes in your pants, dirt gets in. And when dirt gets in, you get chafed. When you get chafed, you walk funny. And when you walk funny, people take videos of you walking funny and they post them on Facebook. Don't have people posting funny walking videos of you on Facebook. Just turn to Christ. Just trust in Him. You can't straddle the fence and be close to God. You have to be on one side or the other. What side are you on? My prayer is that you would choose to follow Christ.